Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that creates it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I would like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope you'll consider sharing it with others. That's a nice way to support the podcast. Now, we have a few series here on our podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, like today. We have our Zen stream on Sunday. And then I do try to throw an extra episode in here and there based on a topic, you know, usually something related to mental health. That is my profession. Been doing that now for close to 16 years. So you'll hear things like mindfulness, relationships, stuff about dealing with feelings, et cetera, et cetera. Basically anything and everything that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So today being Tuesday, like I said, we are doing Tuesday Taoism. And Taoism is a sort of a philosophy for living. Some people may see it as a religion. I think it's more a philosophy. It's based on a book written in ancient China, like 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years. It's a book of really just profound wisdom. I first discovered it as a teenager. It had a huge impact on me, like I say, almost every Tuesday. And so I decided that it would be nice to do a series here on the podcast based on the Tao Te Ching. And it basically consists of reading one chapter every Tuesday and discussing it a little bit. Chapters are very, very short. So today we are up to chapter 69. And I can't believe it's been 69 chapters already. Hard to believe. But it's been a whole lot of, I don't know if fun is the right word. It's just been very, I think, enlightening for me, hopefully for you as well. And you know, I always say it, this book has been translated hundreds, if not thousands of times. And depending on the translation that you pick up and read, you get very different meaning out of each of these chapters. So, you know, I always like to tell people that because the one I'm reading from is by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. Happens to be, of all the translations that I've read, the one that I always kind of come back to, my favorite one. But if you pick up one by another author, even if it's also in English, again, you will see tremendous variation at times in the way that the chapters are interpreted, which is whole other interesting fact about this amazing text. So I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 69 and then discuss it a little bit. This is kind of coming out of left field here a little bit. I just read it a few minutes ago before I started. And you'll see what I mean as I get into it. So let's do this. This is chapter 69, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. The generals have a saying, rather than make the first move, it is better to wait and see. Rather than advance an inch, it is better to retreat a yard. This is called going forward without advancing. Pushing back without using weapons. There is no greater misfortune than underestimating your enemy. Underestimating your enemy means thinking that he is evil. Thus you destroy your three treasures and become an enemy yourself. When two great forces oppose each other, the victory will go to the one that knows how to yield. That's the end of the chapter right there. So let's start out with the obvious. I am not a military strategist. And at face value, when you read this, It does seem to kind of be talking about a battle, right? I mean, he literally says generals, right, have this saying, wait, better to wait and see than make the first move, better to rather than advance an inch, better to retreat a yard. And he goes on to say, pushing back without using weapons. There's no greater misfortune than underestimating your enemy. Underestimating your enemy means thinking that he is evil. Then you destroy your three treasures. Now, three treasures. What are these? And we actually read these back in chapter 67, so just a couple chapters ago. And the three treasures, just to remind you, he says here, chapter 67, I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These are your greatest treasures. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only time in the book where he actually makes a gentle reference to something he said in a previous chapter. Just a little fun fact there. As far as I can tell, I think that's the only time he does that. Unless there's an upcoming chapter that I don't remember where he does it. But at least up until now, my memory, this is the only time that he does that. So, as I started out saying, I mean, I'm not gonna interpret this on the level of some sort of a battle strategy. What actually comes to mind for me here, looking at this possibly from a different angle, is I think the overall message here, right, is about yielding, is about knowing how to yield. It's about not forcing, right? That's something that we see repeat throughout the Tao Te Ching, is that when you are using the force, when you are the fighting, when you are using aggression, when you are trying to make things happen the way you want to, control that kind of thing, you are not in alignment with the Tao. And we've talked here plenty of Tuesdays about what the Tao is, or I've done my best to do that. I can't say I've successfully, completely, clearly communicated it, but I have talked about that quite a few times, and we always have to use care, because there's no direct translation for the word Tao in English. Best translation is something like the way. And we I like to interpret that as the movement of the universe. So we hear throughout the book over and over and over again that the people who are most aligned with the movement of the Tao are the ones living in the best possible life. Okay, and you could in other, like, if you're using terminology from other maybe more modern schools of thought, you could call this alignment, okay, or being aligned with your higher self, being enlightened, that kind of thing, okay, is being aligned with the movement of the Tao. And he often says throughout this text that yielding is the movement of the Tao, okay. So he uses a lot of metaphors, like water, how water's the softest thing in the world, yet it overcomes anything and everything. So we see those types of metaphors and those types of that type of imagery used in this book to put across these ideas. And when I look at this chapter, what comes out to me, we're going a little further with this yielding type of energy, is I often think of, being a psychotherapist, I guess probably influences this a little bit, is you get a lot of people who sometimes hear about acceptance, right? That word acceptance, which is very similar energetically, I think, to yielding, right? Is accepting, right? And many times I've had many people I've worked with say, well, I have this going on and this going on and this going on, and this is overwhelming me, and I'm fighting with this person about this, and I have this, and sometimes they say, we start talking about acceptance of certain things. And I have gotten people say, well, what, I'm just supposed to accept that this is happening to me? I'm just supposed to accept that this person is treating me this way? I'm just supposed to accept that, this is, no, I don't agree with that. And this brings up an interesting, I guess you could call it a point of friction for a lot of people is where do you draw that line, right? Where do you draw that line when it comes to yielding or accepting, right? When there's something happening to you or someone you love, something going on in your life, right? And you have these two seemingly opposed points of view where some people will say, you know, acceptance is key. You can't change without acceptance, right? And then you have other people that are like, no, this you can't stand for this. You can't just sit back and allow this to happen. You have to do something, you have to take action. And so you for many people, you start to feel kind of stuck between rock and a hard place. It's like, well, I'm supposed to accept this or am I supposed to fight? You know? And it's interesting. One of the greatest pieces of things I've ever read comes from the Serenity Prayer, which is often used in like 12-step programs. You probably know what it is, but you know, just for to put it out there, it says, "Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And what a profound thing. I mean, it really goes straight to the matter right there, right? It directly addresses this kind of conflict that appears, right, between acceptance and change. And it's something I think is being alluded to in this little chapter in the Tao Te Ching, where he's talking about yielding, right? And I think the way that I apply this to my life and different situations that have happened to me, and it's listen, as we continue to live our lives, new situations will present themselves where acceptance can mean different things, right? And change can mean different things. But when we talk about acceptance and yielding, the first thing that comes to my mind is when I hear those words, I first think of accepting or yielding to feelings that I am experiencing in the present moment. Feelings and thoughts. They're there, right? So we may have a situation going on that makes us feel hurt, that makes us feel betrayed, maybe, that makes us feel lonely, makes us feel sad, makes us feel frustrated, possibly. So the first thing when we talk about acceptance, it's about accepting that those feelings are there, right? Because many individuals struggle with just that piece. And I would say actually a vast majority of people struggle with just that piece. And because they have such a immediate knee-jerk reaction to those negative feelings, they start taking action on the external issue so that they don't have to feel those feelings, right? So I don't know, maybe you have a relationship going on and the person says something, you know, that again brings up those feelings, hurt, sad, frustration, betrayal, whatever it is. And instead of accepting that those feelings are there, right, yielding to that emotional experience, they may instead start attacking the other person in the relationship. You know, you shouldn't make me feel this way. You shouldn't this, you shouldn't that, you shouldn't have said that, you should whatever it is, right? And they gloss over or skip. Again, it's a knee-jerk reaction. They go straight into the fighting, straight into the anger. And that part of accepting the emotional piece of the situation is missed. And when that is missed, when that is glossed over, your next action is always going to be less than productive. And that's something that he does say directly in this chapter. If you underestimate your enemy, which in this case would be the inability to accept, right? Then where is it? I'm looking for the line. You become an enemy yourself. That's important right there, right? That's important right there. Let me pause here for a quick second, allow a word from a sponsor, and we're going to go into how this type of acceptance can then lead to the what we think is the opposite, to change, right? To putting in your will to cause something to change. So just bear with me one moment. All right, thanks for your patience. I am back. Let me just take a quick moment here Remind you that if you ever want to ask me a question, make a suggestion, express a concern, or if you have an idea for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com. Or you could hop on over to the YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of my videos, doesn't matter which one. Post a comment under it. I get notified right away, and I could respond to you there in the comment section on YouTube. You could also find me on Twitter. I do have a Twitter account. Same name again, Dreams Warp. I believe it's all one word there. And you could send me a direct message there if you want to engage with me in any way. And finally, I'd like to say that if you are enjoying this content and you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts, if you could take a moment and leave a quick rating and review, that would be very helpful to the podcast. So thank you for that. All right. So we're talking about yielding. We're talking about acceptance. We're talking about this knee-jerk reaction that many, many people have to uncomfortable feelings. None of us like to feel uncomfortable feelings. But unfortunately, they are a part of life, right? What human being like never has negative feelings or uncomfortable feelings, I should say. So we're talking about yielding and accepting that fact, okay? That is going to happen. Now, interestingly, you will find, okay, that the better able you are to do that, to accept and acknowledge that discomfort within those painful feelings, then you automatically take better actions. So we seem to, in our minds, separate the yielding from the actions. But as you see repeated throughout the Tao Te Ching, which is, I think, one of the most fascinating aspects of this book, and no book I've ever come across has explained it as clearly as the Tao Te Ching does, is you see the paradox of yielding and action becoming one, although they appear like opposites. So it's through this radical kind of acceptance that we actually become the greatest agents for change. We are able to take actions that are much better guided because we have a much higher mastery over ourselves, our own emotions, our own thoughts, our own behaviors. And this is, profound in a different way to look at our moment-to-moment experience. So you could kind of see how some of these lines in this chapter could be pointing to that. So, for example, rather than make the first move, right? He says, it is better to wait and see. So make the first move, from my example, could be like lashing out right away. Whereas opposed to waiting and seeing is about allowing, yielding, accepting, And then he goes on to say, rather than advance an inch, it is better to retreat a yard. This is the paradox, going forward without advancing, pushing back without using weapons. I remember I don't know why I just remembered this, but in Eckhart Tolle's book, Power of Now, he talks about how difficult it is to have an argument with someone who doesn't fight back, right? Like if you're yelling at someone and they're just calm and they're just talking normally and they're not giving you the friction that you need for your anger to continue to grow, it's very hard to have that argument get out of control or escalate very much. So this is kind of in the similar vein, of this stance, I guess, of yielding, of accepting. And like I said, interestingly, the more you're able to do this, right, then you automatically are going to be less reactive. You're gonna be able to, like I was saying the other day, I think it was on Sunday when we did the Zen stream, I was talking about the practice that our practice is really about in each moment that we are alive, making choices that reflect the greatest degree possible of free will. And what does that mean? That means that our moment-to-moment decisions that we make in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our behaviors, they're not tarnished by habits of thinking, feeling, and behaving from the past. Right? So it doesn't mean we don't learn from the past. We don't gain wisdom from the past. It only means that we are not reacting to the present moment quickly, like taking action, fighting back, getting, you know, getting controlling or whatever the action might be, we're not doing that out of programming from our past that maybe is not allowing us to see all the infinite choices that are available in the present moment. We want to be as aware and as conscious as possible in each and every moment that appears so that we can make decisions that truly reflect, again, our highest free will, right? Being able to choose consciously, fully awakened, fully aware of what is possible for us in each and every moment. And how do we get there? Well, first, we have to learn and we have to become very familiar with our own emotional experience, our own internal thoughts. If we're immediately reacting to those things without looking at them because we find them uncomfortable, we find them unpleasant, we don't want to feel them, we want to get out of them, then you are really, in a sense, putting on a blindfold, right? You're not able to really look within. You're just reacting out of behavioral patterns and thinking, feeling patterns from the past that possibly at some point may have served you well, may have, you know, helped you deal with some uncomfortable pain from the past. But at some point, we want to, it's just like a wound you have on your body. If you never really give it the attention it needs, clean it, dress it, you know, set the bone, clean the burn, whatever it is, as uncomfortable as that process is, then what is going to happen to that, again, using the metaphor of a physical wound, what's going to happen to that physical wound? It's going to get infected. It's going to start to fester. It's going to cause more pain. It's going to cause you possibly to, you know, lean more, you know, if it's on a leg, for example, it may cause you to lean more on the other leg and then the other leg starts hurting. So this kind of process happens also with our internal experience, with our feelings, with our emotions and the way that we behave. So by using something as simple as this idea of accepting and yielding to our internal emotional experience, we are learning a tremendous amount about ourselves and being able to, for lack of a better word, learn how to tolerate that uncomfortable emotional experience, we are then able to react in a way that is wiser, that is maybe not as aggressive or controlling or angry. And this is something that I feel, again, it's a certain interpretation of this chapter that we just read, but I do believe that it fits what I read here. Now, when we move to kind of, again, switching angles here a little bit, this, you can see how now this type of acceptance is not in any way, shape, or form equated with, like, if you're in an abusive situation, if you're being mistreated, if you have someone who is out to hurt you, or you have someone who you care about that's being hurt, you can still absolutely take action to get yourself out of the situation, to provide assistance for that other person. So all those actions can still happen. It's not like when you say accept it, you just lay back and do nothing and just allow that kind of stuff to continue. When we talk about acceptance, the way that I'm talking about it, it's about your internal emotional experience, accepting it, accepting every moment as it appears. And then based on that full acceptance and yielding, taking whatever action is, and you're going to be able, like I said, to take better action as a result of that acceptance, of that yielding. So we see that merger of acceptance and yielding while at the same time taking action. And this, again, is another just awesome example of the paradox of the two seemingly opposites coming together. And I think, again, we go back to the Serenity Prayer. It's amazing how it does that as well. I enjoy this chapter, even though it's, again, coming a little bit out of left field. It still gave us, you know, some interesting things to think about and to look at. So I hope that you found it helpful as well. Stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode. And again, if you want to reach out to me, you could use any of the methods I described a little while ago. I really, really want to thank you for listening as usual. And have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.